This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Mulitani koko my boy, utani Adina the dumbe na ileli na dani Aitaram batani, dumkam yodani Dumkam fewani, la zenes na kipa Gede zenes koko konanga kipa Gede zenes tepo kipite Zenes so topite, mutopita ki zenes fof nange vite Haiseko wotoriza sonjita ahebata Haisa hebini gede manjutata Kuman yoni kamse, deko do my tepa We jungle moon, yen he De flik mbadi kamko de plane Komba mwide, we komba mwide We come by me hal day, yumbat is an asagile, sembata is an asagile, imbatama behagile, ha adrogasa. Niga, minen goni halo be muritani kala defo Shene so urani, donata tae buat gama Jata patae pulish amba kuma Kombien de fa eki fata voyage de Mankire pas niga haita yade Moyidi hate fondu liberte barat bip jemu Moyidi hate mar hal de taja dem galmu Satota koko jeyi dane hani namdo da Satota koko jeyi dane hani kabeda Gona uro ma aheba ta sakoma Gona uro ma ayelta tae telema Shene so urani, tenguran da wela Ni tela muwalani
Bonfire
Era wadune hani nigo wawa jomu Jenes mo anda in the ministry mu
مع الرسالة كاملة مفيدة قوم قدم هاك شوام دار تشوف الحال شبابي داروا عادية شبابي داروا قيمة وحرية هاي ويوب برمساوي هو نهوك ما هو واحد من البدلة خرس واحدة راجن قو يوناني ان كلاني جنس يلتا ساهل كوركا با جنس او هوم اليوم هوم الصبح هوم نهار ما هو يوم فوق بيتو بيتي ميهالة قونقو دان ددو مواطن مواطنة هاي شوي ما هو كافينا مدرسة مش تسفى ساكت
Shene sono wur dat ben 8 million ngaji ne dok yusundur Shene sono wur dat mine kidira ban foko chômage min koni Shene sono wur dat no ak chot société ji godani te nyal fo kalis kanan do boni
And with that, welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade here on listener supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, where I'm Bill Weinberg, and we're honored to be joined once again by Abdurrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania. Welcome back, Abda.
Good to be here.
And the music that we were just opening with is obviously not only from Mauritania, but about Mauritania, about your homeland.
Actually, it's even from Mauritania.
People who
are playing living in Mauritania, and the group is called Jamminteki.
Jamminteki.
Yes, and they are young people, young men who are really aware of what is going on in not only in Mauritania but in Africa, period, and who want to bring some changes in the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm. So they recorded this in Mauritania?
Yes, they are always having difficulties to record it and just to play their music, and they are basically I'm one of their fans, I would say.
And they're in the capital, Nouakchott?
Yes, they live in Nouakchott, and they travel around the country, not only around the country, but around, I would say, Mauritania, Senegal, playing music and awakening people about what is going on and inviting the youth to be more aware about what is going on, not only in Mauritania, but in the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm. And that song was sung entirely in French, or?
It basically mixed French, Fulani, Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is about the role of the youth in Mauritania. And they believe that the youth, young people in Mauritania are left behind and nobody cares about them.
Mm-hmm. So they sing or rap in both, French, the old colonial language, as well as Arabic and Fulani.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So there's members of the band who are from representative of both those ethnicities?
Well, they are basically from the Fulani ethnic group,
mm-hmm.
but being in Nouakchott and being Mauritanian, they are open-minded people who speak several languages and who want to reach a broader audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time we had you on these airways was about a year and a half ago, and you were talking then about how the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania had just brought suit in, was it the U.S. federal courts, was it?
Yes, it was.
Against the former dictator, Sidi Mohamed Ould, the old dictator was Moya Ould Sidi Ahmed Taya.
That's correct.
He's the one who had been in power for like 20 years.
Yes, between 1984 to 2005. Yes.
Right. And yes. Then there was a sort of a pro-democracy coup d'etat where he was ousted by some seemingly idealistic army officers who wanted to have some kind of a democratic transition. And that process seemed to be at least tentatively moving along until there was a sort of counter coup just this August.
Yes. Unfortunately, when people were just about to be happy and about to give credit to the regime that was, to the elect president, Sidi Ould Abdallah, Sidi Ould Cheikh Abdallah, and then a coup occurred in Mauritania to stop the democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in August, as you said, and I think it's something that is unfortunate. It's like making one step forward and two step back.
So there were new elections in the interim. Back when were the elections? About a year ago?
Yes, about less than a year. About a year ago, you are right. And the election, the president was at least democratically elected. And he was about to bring back the refugee who started, and slavery was once again outlawed, and people were trying to think about going back to Mauritania and bringing changes. And then what happened is in August, we had, unfortunately, a coup.
Right, and the three sort of outstanding big issues which the new regime was before the coup, the new democratically elected regime was, or somewhat democratically elected regime, the three big issues which they were attempting to address at least was first and foremost the lack of democracy, and then also you mentioned the question of the refugees. These are Fulani and other black African peoples who had been forced out in a wave of ethnic cleansing, mostly around 1989, right?
Exactly.
Right, by the Arab-dominated regime, by the Arab nationalist regime of Taya. And then the question of slavery, which despite having been officially abolished several times in the independent history of Mauritania, continues to persist.
Yes, unfortunately, we are still dealing with slavery in Mauritania. Unfortunately, in 2008, there are people who own other people, and there are people who are not free at all. And that happened in my country, and that is why people like me believe that we have to stand up and we have to struggle to free our people and to bring justice to Mauritania. And that's why, once again, I admire this young musician who dedicated their lives and their art to free Mauritanians.
Mm-hmm. So now your group, the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania, was founded back during this wave of ethnic cleansing in the late 1980s.
Yes, I mean, FLAM, the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania, is basically in 1983, four political organizations came together in order to fight against racism and slavery in Mauritania. What happened is they believed that in order to face the regime, they needed to unify their forces. And that's why, where the names forces came from. Mm-hmm. And since then, FLAM is still fighting, struggling to bring peace and justice in Mauritania. What happened is, in 1986, we published our first manifesto. And the manifesto was just a call. We were calling all Mauritanians to come together and to address the issue and to try to build a more democratic society. And guess what? The regime decided just to send our leaders to prison. 4 years, 5 years in prison for just writing a manifesto, which was just a calling for a peaceful,
for
a peaceful and democratical gathering. That's what we were calling for. And we were calling for democracy, for peace, for equality. And our leaders were just arrested and sent to prison. And unfortunately, we lost many of our valued intellectuals, among them the writer Ten Yusuf Gueye, who is one of the greatest writers in Mauritania, and who was killed, I mean, who lost his life in prison in Walata. Mm. Walata is, as I used to say, is our Reuben Island. Those who know the history of South Africa know what Reuben Island looked like. And the difference between Reuben Island and Walata is the climate. It's harder and hotter in Walata than it is in the island of Reuben.
Right, which is where Nelson Mandela, of course, was held for...
Yes, Nelson Mandela...
for what, 20 years or more he was held
more
there.
Than 20 years. Dr. Subis Gueye was also, in Reuben Island. We have many leaders, not only of ANC, but also of PAC, who were actually detained in Reuben Island.
Mm. Okay, so the same sort of strategy was used against the FLAM in this period in the 1980s.
Yes, the strategy was to divide, to destroy this organization and to send our leaders to prison and to create, to disinform people about the organization, trying to portray us as the terrorists, as people who are against the unity against Mauritania, which was not true. And
in fact, the FLAM was and continues to be a civil organization, not a clandestine or military organization.
Well, we are an organization that is fighting peacefully, and we, because we couldn't talk about the issue in Mauritania, that's why we left. We never wanted to be outside our continent, I mean our country. What we wanted is to be in Mauritania and to be able to address the issue and to move on, because people of my generation think Africa is suffering a lot, and it's up to us to bring changes in our continent. And being outside the outside our country or our continent is not what we really want.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have to leave the situation.
Well, I'd like to bring the conversation to the present day, but first we should just reacquaint the listeners with the history which has brought us to this point. So in the 1980s, most of the FLAM leadership was either imprisoned or forced into exile. And then what happened in 1989? What precipitated the flight of how many thousands of people from Mauritania into Senegal?
120,000 people were deported from Mauritania to Senegal and from Mauritania to Mali.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the reason behind the deportations were to have fewer blacks in Mauritania and to keep the fertile lands that was in the southern part of Mauritania. Of course, during that time I was 16 when in 1989 when we were deported from our country. And that dirty plan was helped by and masterminded by someone like Saddam Hussein, who was the commander-in-chief of the Ba'ath Party, and who was giving order to our dictator to create an all-Arab country in which black will be just second-class citizens.
That was Taya.
That was Taya, who I, as you mentioned before, who we are, we came here last time to talk
about the case against him.
Yes, I brought a case against him.
In the federal courts here in the United States.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did it. And thanks to our lawyer, Wesley O'Brien,
mm-hmm.
and the lawyer, not only him, but all the lawyers who work with the Refugee Defense Alliance, and to our people who really helped us to bring this issue in the United States court.
Mm-hmm. And so you're trying him on what charge? What law are you using in this case?
Well, what we were trying to do is to, it's going to be, of course, it's a civil case in this case, and it's against torture. And the United States law accept that some crimes that were made outside the United States can be judged in the United States if the victims are living in the United States.
I believe it's the Alien Tort Claims Act, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. And since we are U.S. resident and we use that law to claim justice. What we want is not revenge, is not going after him. What we want is just justice. And since we couldn't have justice in Mauritania, we tried at least to have it in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's been a year and a half since you filed the case now. Where does it stand?
Well, for the case to move on, we need the dictator to be in the United States.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to bring them. And at this time, the regime of Qatar is not really collaborating to help us bring him in the United States of America.
Okay. Now, this is the new regime which assumed power in the coup d'etat.
There are a link between Taya
mm-hmm.
and the new regime who is, they are the same people who the same prosecutor, people who made those crime in Mauritania.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I've got this right, in the elections which were held about a year ago, Sidi Mohamed Ould Sheikh Abdoulaye was elected.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. And the FLAM actually boycotted the elections because of the issue of refugees who were not allowed to vote because they had not been repatriated.
Yes, we have always to stand with our people, with the victims. We are not a political political party. We are a movement that seeks the liberation of our people. So our tactics, what matters the most for us is to be always with our people and to respect our principles. And at that time, we didn't trust the regime. And unfortunately, today we are right, because the regime that organized the election are the same people who, after that, organized a coup d'etat to destroy the democracy that was there.
Okay, so what I'd like to get a sense of is, how do you read the politics of this coup? I mean, there were certain tentative steps towards progress which were made under Sheikh Abdoulaye. Towards the repatriation of refugees. Some, at least several hundred, were in fact repatriated. The process had begun. And there were moves to at least address the issue of slavery. I'm not sure how much progress was actually made, but at least there was some kind of move to address the question. And then he was overthrown in August. Now, one thing which I've been trying to read is, what was the stance of the United States in all of this? And the United States did have military advisors in Mauritania, and they were apparently removed in the aftermath of the coup. So it doesn't necessarily smell like a U.S.-backed coup d'etat. Although perhaps the regime would like to get the U.S. on its side and has been playing up the threat of al-Qaeda activity in Mauritania. And apparently there have been numerous attacks in recent months which have been attributed to this entity calling itself Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. So how do you read all of this?
Well, I don't know if we have Al-Qaeda in Mauritania. The Al-Qaeda that we have in Mauritania, I believe, is the one who are in charge, is the regime, the president. They are always trying to manipulate things and to let people think they are fighting against terrorism in order to get finance or to get funding from IMF or World Bank, from the United States.
Or military aid.
Yeah. That's not, thank God, and people are smarter than the regime think they are. Anyway, and what happened is, the president was ousted because he was about to make some changes, and the military don't want those changes to happen in Mauritania. What they want is to keep the statu quo, and they are fighting for the statu quo, because for them change will mean democracy, will mean equality, and will mean justice. Since they are the one who perpetrate all these crimes, they don't want change to come. And they were surprised, because they thought at first the elect president will be someone who will listen to their order. Mm. And after they realized that was not happening, they decided just to come back and to be there. Now, I think the official position of the United States is an admirable position, which is to condemn this coup. And everybody condemns this coup. And now the regime in Nouakchott is basically very solitary. Nobody is helping them. Nobody is.
Okay, now, has any have any governments recognized the new government?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all.
All right, so really, Mauritania has become an outlaw state, so
yes,
to speak, like Haiti under Cedras or Afghanistan under the Taliban.
Like, they are not even welcomed in some international forums or organizations like the Francophonie that happened in Canada last month.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
They
okay,
are
so
very isolated.
I heard that the U.S. removed its military advisors, but did the U.S. actually break diplomatic relations?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. And we hope they will make further decision in bringing peace, justice, and democracy in Mauritania.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, there's been a lot of protests, labor protests and so on, and protests to have the ousted president restored to power in the capital, Nouakchott, and they've been put down with considerable repression.
Yes, and the sad news is people who are protesting are always beaten, and their rights are always being violated by the regime. And what we need is really people to be aware of what is going on and to help restore the democracy and equality.
Mm. Well, you know, the claim which is almost always made about Al-Qaeda, no matter what country they're operating in, you always hear the claim that they're just a false flag operation or a shadow play by the regime to justify repression. And I'm sure that, you know, frequently there's an element of truth to that. But on the other hand, I mean, there have actually been attacks, including on government soldiers. I mean, there were several, about 3 weeks ago now? Last month, I believe, there was an attack in the north, in the desert, where some soldiers were ambushed and taken captive and beheaded. I think something like 10 were killed.
Yes.
So is it probable, in your opinion, that this is really a government shadow play? They're actually killing their own soldiers?
I think this regime is able or capable of doing any kind of manipulations. I don't trust and I don't believe that there are some Al-Qaeda's in Mauritania. The kind of Islam that is practiced in West Africa is a very peaceful Islam, not an Islam that is bombing people or killing people. Now, as I said before, there will be always manipulation in order to gain more funding from the United States or from Europe. And unfortunately, they are dividing the country and making false claim about the presence of terrorism in Mauritania.
And yet this Salafist brand of Islam is making headway in many, really throughout the Islamic world. I mean, a generation ago, it was not very powerful in India and the subcontinent and so on, and the more peaceful strains related to Sufism and so on were much more powerful. And now you see these same sorts of really horrific terrorist attacks taking place there. So, there apparently this group, which is calling itself Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, is related to the same group which is carrying out the terror attacks in Algeria. And you heard the same sorts of claims there, particularly in the 1990s when the civil war was going on in Algeria,
exactly,
that the government was manipulating it, and maybe the government was even behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Back then it was called the GIA. Now it's calling itself, which is the Islamic Salvation Group or something like that?
Yeah.
Right. Well, there was the FIS, and then there was the more radical.
The GIA.
Right, the GIA, which,
yeah,
I can't remember exactly what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
But the FIS was like the more electoral one, and then the elections were stolen from them in Algeria in, 1992 or thereabouts. And then the GIA, which the Armed Islamic Group, that's what,
mm-hmm,
it stands for, they took up arms and went in a much more radical direction even than the FIS. And now they apparently have transformed themselves into this entity called Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which apparently is now active not only in Algeria, but in Mauritania and Morocco and other countries in the region. So when the war was going on 10 years ago in Algeria, now it's more of a sort of a terrorist underground than a civil war exactly. But when the war was going on and the really horrific massacres on and just atrocious scale taking place there, you heard the same sorts of rumors that, the GIA was actually controlled by branches of the Algerian military itself to try to discredit the opposition. And so, well, it just all strikes me as very murky. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, I mean, it's manipulation, and they will always continue to do what they can to stay in power. I think the best way to fight against terrorism is to let democracy prevail, and to help people who want to implement democracy, to help them really implement the democracy. Democracy is what will, at the end of the day, help against not only terrorism but also hunger and all these kind of problems that some third world countries are dealing with.
Well, it's 12:31 in the morning here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is Bill Weinberg, and we're speaking with Abdurrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania, or the FLAM. And, your group has largely been based in exile since the late 1980s.
Yes.
Mostly in Senegal, I believe, but you've also got people in France and in America.
Yes, Senegal, Mali, and America, as you said, and Europe.
So how do you see some kind of genuine, especially now that there's been this setback with the coup d'etat of August, how do you see some kind of pressure being brought to bear on the junta that rules Mauritania to have some kind of a democratic transition?
Well, we have, as I used to say, nobody's going to freeze this country in our place. So it belongs to us to continue what we are doing, to continue the struggle, to inform people what is going on in Mauritania. Nowadays, we live in a village, and the world is becoming smaller. And what happened in Mauritania, as I used to say, shouldn't be left to Mauritanians alone. And it's a matter of human rights. Wherever we are, we have to fight against any kind of injustice, any kind of discrimination. So that is why we continue to call people in the United States, in Europe, to do their best in order to help Mauritania free their people and to help democracy come back in Mauritania.
Mm-hmm. So are you calling on sanctions against the regime in Mauritania?
Yes, I am.
Diplomatic isolation?
Diplomatic isolation, and so we will to put pressure in this regime so they will resign and give the power to the president who was democratically elected.
Okay, and where is he now? That's Sidi Mohamed Ould Cheikh Abdoulaye. Where is he now?
He's still in Mauritania, but detained. And
he's still detained.
Yes, he's still detained. Mm-hmm. And what happened is his wife is always being violated and by the regime, who accuse her of who made some allegation against her, and we think that's not fair to
When you say she's being violated, you mean what? She's being detained?
Harassed and detained once in a while, and for corruption, they said, but we know the corrupted people in Mauritania are the regime.
Okay, so Cheikh Abdoulaye remains behind bars now.
Well, once in a while she's called to remain behind the bar, but she is freed. She is at home at this time where we are.
No, I mean her husband, the ousted president.
Yes, the oust, he is behind the bar.
All right. So now it's been, what, 4 months, right?
Yes.
August since to November.
August.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since August. For someone who was democratically elected and who was fighting, I mean, who was trying to do his best to bring changes. I must confess, I was not agree. I mean, I didn't agree with him. I thought the way that he was conducting things was very slow. But at least he was democratically elected. So it's not about the person; it's about principles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what is the justification which the regime is using to keep him locked up? What is he accused of?
He is accused of not letting things move.
He's accused of
not letting things moving because the parliamentary, we have like a small constitutional crisis in Mauritania before the coup, and even the constitutional crisis was manipulated by the military, who actually corrupted some parliamentary to make some, I mean, blockage in the Senate and, I mean, in the Congress, in our
Senate.
All right,
so what was the nature of the constitutional crisis?
We shouldn't even call it constitutional because it's just people who didn't want the Senate to make some move or to be able to discuss some issues.
Mm.
That's what happened. And
so it was just gridlock, as we call it here. When in Washington, when the two political parties can't get it together and they paralyze the whole legislative process, they call it gridlock.
Gridlock.
Yeah.
So we had our gridlock in Mauritania.
Okay, and since the coup, just recently, they tried to reconvene the parliament. And the opposition boycotted.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, the people who were the opposition now boycotted because it's not fair. And they don't recognize this new regime. Mm-hmm. What they want is the regime just to go back. I believe that the role of a military is not to be in power.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there are these places around the world where the military continues to be in power. And, you know, some of them you hear a lot about, like Burma. There are others where, certainly it was making headlines when the military was in power in Haiti in the 90s. But you hear very, very little about Mauritania in the West. I mean, very rarely do you see anything in the New York Times about it. And when you do, it's just a little tiny story buried deep inside the newspaper. So why do you think that is? And what is the FLAM trying to do to bring some awareness to the global stage about the situation in your country?
Obviously, until lately, Mauritania was considered as a poor country. Until we discover, like, we have some oils. Mauritania was just considered as a small, as a country. And until 1986, Mauritanian activists, we thought it was possible to solve this country, to solve this issue inside Mauritania. So we only started informing the world about what is going on after 1986. So we are trying to do our best to inform the world what is going on. But to tell the truth is it's hard to inform, to raise awareness if your country is not a rich country. Unless it has like genocide like in Rwanda. Where many people died. So one of the reasons I think is because Mauritania was considered as a poor country. And secondly, because Mauritania was colonized by France and we belong to the first generation of Mauritanian immigrants who came to the United States, who learned how to speak English and to inform people who speak that language.
Mm-hmm. Well, the discovery of oil is mostly off the coast, off the West African coast.
Yes.
And a lot of this oil hasn't really been brought online yet, for the most part, but they are anticipating that this is going to be an extremely critical region of the world for the 21st century, the West African coast. They think there's a lot of oil there, all the way stretching from Western Sahara down through Mauritania to
Senegal, Mali, and exactly.
And I believe that this was critical in the decision which was taken, what, maybe 5 years ago to put U.S. military forces, special forces, military advisors in Mauritania, Mali, Niger, I believe several countries in the region, to train the local forces there to fight against this Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb entity, whether it exists or it doesn't. I think that the people in the Pentagon were concerned about the possibility of oil infrastructure being blown up. Now, once again, they have a lot of this oil hasn't been brought online yet. They're still trying to line up the investment and so on. But they're saying that this is going to be, you know, just as critical as you know, the Persian Gulf or the Caspian Basin in the years to come. This probably also informs the decision which was taken recently to form a Pentagon African Command, which has just become official just a couple of weeks ago. Although there's no African country which is willing to host it yet, so they're still based in Germany. But finally, Africa has got its own Pentagon Command. How does the FLAM view this, and how do people in Mauritania generally view this?
Well, I think we believe that U.S. have its right to create, I mean, to appoint his commander who will negotiate with this country. The debate among people is, should the U.S. intervene or not? And what I really believe is U.S. should intervene to stop the mass killing and to stop whatever is against the democracy. And there are people who are for the intervention and also who are against the fact that the U.S. should intervene. What I really think is, when it comes to human rights, the U.S. should do more.
Well, you see, this is a tricky question, because right now we're seeing an historic shift, apparently, in United States policy, certainly in the body politic of the United States, a radical shift. I think that, you know, Obama's historic election was very much, in large part, a backlash against the so-called neoconservatives, who have been in charge of U.S. foreign policy throughout the Bush years. And the neoconservatives, I think, is little understood on the left, how they have exploited genuine idealism and exploited genuine concerns with human rights and democracy and wanting to, you know, overturn authoritarian regimes in the interests of increasing, once again, I would argue, increasing U.S. global control over strategic oil resources and so on. So I think that, well, it's interesting to see which way it's going to go, because on one hand, as I say, I think that there's the neocons have been they've been dethroned. Mm-hmm. You know, their foreign policy has just proved to be a disaster, especially in Iraq and in the Middle East. I think that Obama's victory was largely based on a backlash against them. On the other hand, his first appointment of Rahm Emanuel as chief of staff would seem to be towards putting in power somebody who's very much in the neoconservative corner. So it remains to be seen which way the new administration in this country is going to go.
Well, I think it's a little bit early to say.
Definitely.
But first, please allow me to congratulate Barack Obama, but not only him, all the Americans who voted for him or who didn't, who vote for the other candidate. I think the victory is the victory of the United States of America. And it's something that is not the Americans shared with everybody in this world. People were happy to see the change that came in the United States of America. The only people who were not happy about this change are some dictators. And like I said in another occasion, is Africans in general were very happy about this victory, but our dictator were not.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were happy about...
So who's the new guy now? The head of the junta is Mohammed Ould Abdelaziz?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you think he was not happy about Obama's victory?
Yes, he was not. No way that he's going to be happy about this victory, because the change that Obama is or was talking about during his campaign is something that will definitely... the U.S. will not support someone like him. And if I say U.S., it's not just the power, it's not just the government, but the people of the United States. It is always good to make a difference between the U.S., those who are in politics, the government, and the people.
Definitely.
And what I notice is for after the election, what we have is the power, the people of the United States being in power.
Well, we'll see, perhaps. I think we've taken a step towards that.
Yes.
I think that, you know, Obama's campaign has been far more grassroots-based and participatory than any that we've seen in this country in certainly in a very, very long time and perhaps ever. What do you say in maybe 10 or 15 minutes, we'll consider opening up the phone lines on this question, if you're open to that.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And I'll just give the number now. We'll take phone calls in about 10 minutes, but the number is 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. If anybody out there would like to discuss the issues that we're addressing tonight with Abdurrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania, the FLAM. This is a real interesting question because, first let me ask you, you did a, on election night 1 week ago, you did a radio report by telephone to a station in Senegal, correct?
Yes, I did it.
Uh-huh.
I was trained to be a journalist. I worked as a journalist in Senegal prior to coming to the United States of America. Even in the United States, while I was in school or working, I sometimes do some reporting for some newspaper or for some radio. And I worked for a TV station in Dakar, based in Dakar and called Canal Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I also helped RFM, which is the largest radio in Dakar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing and to see how the U.S. politics is actually being followed by people in Senegal.
Okay, so what was the reaction? Perhaps an obvious question, but still I'd be interested in hearing. What was the reaction like from your contacts in Senegal? What did they have to say about what the atmosphere was like in Senegal on election night?
On election night, people were expecting Obama to win. and the questions that I was asking. Is he going to win? Do you think he's gonna be win? Do you think the election will be fair? So that's the kind of question people were basically, if the election were to held in Senegal, he would be like 95%. And people were asking about if he's going to be the next president. And well, as a journalist, my duty was to give them the information and to tell them what is happening and what I think was happening, because you cannot ask a journalist to be what you ask. You can ask a journalist is to be honest and to tell things the way that he or
she. It's an old-fashioned attitude, but an admirable one.
Exactly.
Okay, so I would imagine that there was far more interest in the American election in Senegal and elsewhere in West Africa this time than there has been in the past.
Exactly. And yes, because the fact that they have the fact that Obama, who is a son of an African immigrant who came to the United States to go to school, that was one of the reasons why I think people were watching and what is going to happen. And I'm glad it happened in the United States of America, and I hope it will happen one day in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, this also, something else I wanted to touch on very briefly is the whole situation with immigration to Europe, which is making Mauritania, just as it's perhaps strategic to the United States because of the oil factor, it's strategic to Europe because it's seen as a bottleneck for keeping migrants out of Europe. And you know about this place in Mauritania that they're calling the Little Guantanamo. It's at a place called Naudibu.
Naudibu. Yes.
Is a sort of a detainment camp that the government has set up there for migrants?
Yes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's people who are detained are not judged, and the best way to stop immigration or illegal immigration is not to detain poor people, is to develop our countries, to develop our agriculture, to develop our industry. And so when Africans come to the United States, they will be seen as tourists and not as immigrant or people who came just to look for a job. That's my hope. That's what I'm fighting for. And that's what my dream is to see when we come to the United States or to Europe to be seen as tourists and not as immigrant who came to pick up the job. So, I believe it's up to us not only to free our country, to bring peace and justice, but also to develop our countries. We have a lot of resources in Africa. The only country of Mauritania can feed, I would say, the whole West Africa. But it needs to be developed. And after we develop our countries, people will find jobs there and will be, of course, I will be more than happy to see other people coming to Africa and seeking for jobs.
Well, most of the fertile land in Mauritania is in the south, and it's mostly desert in the north. And this ties into the whole ethnic divide, because traditionally power has been held by the Arab peoples of the north, and yet the best land is in the south, where the Fulani and other black African peoples who have increasingly, particularly since the late 1980s, have been kicked off of that land. And it's been taken over by more and more cronies of the regime and so on.
Yes, that's true. Like I said before, one of the reasons why we were deported in 1989 was to keep the fertile land of the south, mm-hmm. and
to keep it in government hands,
yes,
or in the hands of people favored by the government.
Exactly, to keep it for people who are favored by the government. And if we had like a democratic elected, this land will be for all Mauritanians. But what happened is that's not the case. The former dictator Taya wanted to keep it for his friends, for his
cronies.
Yes, and people, only for his people. And that's what is unfortunate. And you cannot live in your land or the land of your ancestors and seem like you are a stranger,
yes,
and being treated as you were just a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating.
What's the river basin in the south there?
Le fleuve Senegal. I mean the river,
right.
The Senegal River,
mm-hmm. Which forms the border with Senegal.
Yes,
yeah.
And which goes basically from Guinea to Mali, and we have a lot of fertile lands over there, in both sides, Mauritania and
mm-hmm.
Senegal.
Mm-hmm. So. Just to touch again on the case of this so-called Little Guantanamo, it's another one of these horror stories that you never hear anything about. But apparently, people are being—these are just not people who have been charged with any crime other than immigration violations. People who are just migrants coming from point south, trying to make their way across the Sahara to Europe, to Spain and France and so on, are being detained indefinitely in pretty harsh conditions. And when they are finally deported, they're often just dumped across the border in the middle of the desert in Mali with no food, no water, no transportation. One would, hope that there will be more of an outcry about this sort of thing going on. But it's gotten very, very little media attention. A little bit in Europe, I think. I read about it in The Economist, I believe. But practically none here in the United States.
Yes, it's not the main issue in the United States. It's happened where Americans are focused on who is going to be the next president
of
the United States.
And on the economy, and even, the question of the war, or I should say the war is plural because we've got at least two going on, Iraq and Afghanistan. Even that issue has sort of gone by the wayside. But, why don't we take another brief musical break? Is there another cut that you'd like to hear from Jam Min Teki?
Yes. I like everything from them. They are...
How about Cut 6? Do you like Cut 6?
Yes, I do.
Now, why don't we hear Cut 6? And then maybe we'll consider taking some phone calls at 212-209-2900 in about, maybe 3 to 4 minutes. 212-209-2900. But just to sort of throw out something for the listeners to cogitate on while we get ready to take phone calls is, the whole question of what U.S. foreign policy is going to look like under Obama and how it's going to affect places like Mauritania. I mean, one of the unfortunate things, really maddening things of how the whole political atmosphere has been poisoned in this country under the past 8 years of George Bush has been that because the neoconservatives have appropriated the rhetoric of human rights and democracy and pluralism, those very concepts are starting to become suspect for a lot of people who consider themselves to be leftist and progressives and so on. And there's more and more of a sense of wanting to actually rally around authoritarian regimes if it's perceived that they're standing up to the U.S. And there's even, sort of a convergence of elements of the radical left, which have assumed this kind of stance, and elements of the traditional Republican right, which have assumed this kind of stance. And by this, I mean the so-called paleocons as opposed to the neocons. The neocons have kind of got this vision that they want to completely remake the world and especially the Middle East and do away with all these old nationalist regimes. And put in pro-U.S. regimes, whereas the old paleocons, people like, Pat Buchanan would be among the most extreme of them, They would just want to, you know, make do with whatever kind of regime actually exists. And, you know, we were getting along fine with Saudi Arabia, which is a completely repressive regime, for many, many years, and buying their oil before the neocons blundered in and messed everything up. So I even see the beginnings of some kind of a convergence between the Republican right, who defected from Bush to Obama. And there were a lot of people like that, and elements of the left or progressive forces in this country just making do with authoritarian regimes as opposed to wanting to overthrow them. And I think that's sort of a false dichotomy of either on one hand the U.S. overthrowing them through military intervention, as the neocons would have it, and the U.S. just kind of, you know, making do with them and accommodating them, as the paleocons would have it. And, well, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this question, but I'd also like to hear what the listeners have to say. So, do you have any thoughts at the moment?
After
the music. Good. Yes. Okay. It's 1 o'clock in the morning on listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with Bill Weinberg and Abdurrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania. And here's some more from Jam Min Teki.
Salaamu alaikum. Yeah. All about chatty boy and chatty girl, you see. Jam Min Teki, Altero and Jalo, I've no time for lay. We born ray, you see. Okay, hey yo, 2K6, this is the remix.
Como burma, wana como surma, ko kanko surtat ma, kanko rejat ma, kanko na wat ma, kanko yeyat ma, dere nagal antamanta, kalako wada kalta, arhaku kaloda, arhaku kaloda, kalasa alako talda, so wana ko kalda, tala togeda, wadat mombeja, medad nendeja.
Klam ma hu ma'lum, ni tijib beja, travi ni klam, la tigaad gum, hai kelma mafhuma, ma tigit tisma shi, ma mfid gitu, ya wilu, ya wilak, dhim hai dil ba akhlak, la tashi ma حشمك لوليد عمي خرس يدين عند خيلك لا تفكر صح بدوني تاك تكلم ورا رجاش كيف شي ما هو ليد عمك ما هو ليد عمك ما هو ليد عمك
على مجاني على مجاني كوني ببي كوني ببات
على مجاني
شو قم سير شو قم صا
على مجاني نيفاني نيفاني
على مجاني
على مجاني على مجاني كوني ببي كوني ببات
على مجاني بعد سير بعد صا
على مجاني نيفاني نيفاني
على مجاني
Jodi rata jimbe nuncha ke finte Neta wana ko chene na fof Chef choda ma mende kala pala Ma mende kala jina finte doka Mata anta neta foma nyaute huna kumum Neta kona brani lufof yo wan kupo mum Samu anti fo hali fo Poni fo Mo anti fo jeni fo Poni fo
Stoppez les trop de rumeurs, stoppez les trop de menteurs, stoppez les polémiques, les paroles et les gens qui parlent mal. Sur toi, sur lui, sur elle, sur nous, sur moi, ils parlent mal. Tous les jours, tout le temps, sur tout le monde, une fois, boule de scandale. Ils parlent de n'importe quoi, ceux qui les regardent pas. Pas la peine, une fois moi, tout le monde sait que t'es comme ça, stop. Ne youhou sou hala, hala, ferme ta bouche, bon moya.
Hala moyani, hala moyani, kouni bebe, kouni bebe,
hala moyani.
Ils sont comme ci, ils sont comme ça,
hala moyani.
On vient pour griller les impostes, éliminer tous les trompeurs, éliminer tous les bourreurs, éliminer tous les menteurs. Tout le monde le sait, Brockman, que ta bouche elle débite. Tout le monde le sait, Brockman, que t'es un hypocrite.
Ok, le riba ma housine, still sahbak ma houchouin, wana hunde pop halate, hem hunde débuté, bene kala hunde geta, hala ki okan harmiga, dejunde ya tura da hot halfo, débuté.
Hala moyani, hala moyani, kuni pepe, kuni pepe,
hala moyani,
sou comme si, sou comme ça,
hala moyani.
Ala moyani, ala moyani,
All right, more sounds of Jam Bin Teki from Mauritania. And Abda, can you tell us something about that song? I heard certainly French and Arabic. Was there some Fulani going on there as well?
Yes, Hala Mojani, Hala Mojani.
Uh-huh, that means what?
How to translate it? Anyway, Hala Mojani is not always good to talk. Just talk is not the best thing to do. What we should do is try to monitorize ourselves when it comes to talk. It's not always good to stay here and to talk about others, to gossip.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sort of sentiment of action speaks louder than words.
Yes, and if we have to talk, we have to see what we are talking about,
mm-hmm.
and not just talk for talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two people calling in. I'll tell you what, we'll take calls when we have three or four people calling in at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. We're speaking with Abderrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania. And while we're waiting for a couple more people to call in at 212-209-2900, do you have any thoughts, Abda, about what I just sort of laid out in terms of the neocon agenda of completely remaking the world along pro-U.S. lines and doing it all in the name of democracy and human rights, and on the other hand, the old guard Republican line of, we just sort of accommodate repressive regimes and even prop them up and provide them with military training and so on.
What I believe is it's going to be disappointing for people like me who are fighting to bring justice and democracy in their country, not to see the United States of America doing something to stop, for instance, to stop some dictators. And so what really people are expecting is to see the U.S. Working to toward democracy, working to bring democracy in these countries. So Barack Obama is expected to do a lot of outreach, I would say. As a community organizer, he has to now to organize a world,
yes,
and to make it a better place to be in.
Well, if he's going to have to, hopefully he'll be able to rebuild American credibility to be able to do that kind of thing, because right now we don't have any. But it's certainly going to be a very, very different world come January 20th. Okay, should we take some calls? 212-209-2900. WBAI, you are on the air. No, you're not. 212-209-2900. Let's try again. WBAI, you are on the air with Abderrahman Wone.
Yes, I was wondering what influences or whatever does the Chinese situation, in terms of money, arms, whatever, have to do with what's happening in Mauritania right now?
Well, for now, the Chinese influence is not that great, but I rather to see Mauritania cooperating with democratic countries such as the United States than to cooperate with China. Of course, we will be open to all countries, but what we notice is from what happened in Sudan, the Sudanese regime was helped by Chinese, and it's not something
continues to be
and continues to be helped by Chinese. We want to build relationship with all countries, but we think at the same time this country shouldn't just see what is their interest, their economic interest, but they should also put on the table the agenda, which is democracy, peace, equality, and human rights.
Well, I understand, in fact, that Chinese have begun to invest in oil infrastructure in Mauritania.
Yes, they will. I mean, they are discussing. What happened is you don't have a stability in Mauritania. What was signed under Taya is no longer available.
Right.
And the decision made by Sidi Sheikh Abdullah are no longer acceptable.
So everything's kind of up in
everything
the air.
Everything is just in the air.
Yes.
So at the same time, what I'm saying is we are welcome all the countries to come and to invest or to in Mauritania. But at the same time, we should be aware of building relations with countries that are for the democracy.
Uh-huh. And what about the situation with the with your neighbor to the west, you know, that used to be part of Morocco? How does that affect the political situation?
You mean Western Sahara?
Yeah, Western Sahara.
Uh-huh.
It's a situation that is very difficult, and and I must confess, it's a very difficult situation. Now, if we have to recognize Western Sahara as a country, the Polisario, or if we have to, what I believe is, people have the right to fight for their freedom and for their country to exist. And Western Sahara, it has to be recognized.
Okay, I would imagine currently the Mauritanian government recognizes Morocco's claim to Western Sahara.
Yes, yeah. They recognize it, and because of the fact that they are trying to build some relations with Morocco.
Right.
In order to be recognized by Morocco, they have to give up something.
Then what would happen if Mauritania were to drift towards recognition of Western Sahara? In terms of Morocco.
Can you say it one more time?
Rock in a hard place. No, I was just saying, is there still a balance? In other words, I can see that, you know, you have to maintain a relationship with Morocco at the same time, as you said, you know, there's the issues of, you know, the people in Western Sahara's rights. So where does that put Mauritania, you know?
I mean, the situation of Mauritania is going to be very difficult.
Difficult, yeah.
But what happened is I think, I believe in negotiation. I think what should be done is to try to have the Polisario and the and Morocco to discuss this issue and to try to find a solution. Nothing is impossible. And we should try to manage, I mean, to solve this this conflict through negotiation.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah. On the question of neighboring countries, I'm sure that you're, I just want to bring this up before we forget, I'm sure you're aware, Abda, of the recent case in Niger, where a formerly enslaved woman brought suit before the Court of Justice of the ECOWAS, which is the Economic Community of West African States, brought suit against her government, against the government of Niger, for allowing her to remain in a state of slavery. And she won, and she's going to be getting a big settlement from the government of Niger now.
Yes, I mean, I read about it, and I am happy whenever individuals or groups of people are fighting for their right. At the end of the day, what we want is to build strong, democratic societies in Africa where people have their right, where individuals, people, I mean, can have their right. What happened is, Niger, with this woman who won the battle, is something that we really want to happen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So people will be freer, people will be free. Because you cannot build countries, you cannot develop economies if people are not free.
Right. Well, this strikes me as a big step in the right direction, because there's some official recognition here that, in fact, slavery persists in this part of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Should we take another call? 212-209-2900. We've got around 15 minutes left. So please give a call if you'd like to speak to Abderrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania. Only one person calling, so you know there were a couple a minute ago. Some more people call and we'll take calls. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. If anybody has anything to say about an Obama administration policy towards Africa, and particularly West Africa, is going to look like. Okay, a few more people calling. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Speak.
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask you where that detention camp is, or actually not where it is, but what government is running that?
The Mauritanian government.
Mauritania.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Obama has committed to closing Gitmo, whether he does or not, but, you know, there are so many others that aren't so popular that we don't know about necessarily. We know about some of them. And, you know, these are illegal activities. But, you know, then you got to look at each government and what their laws are that before you can just call something an illegal activity.
Well, in this regard, something else which I meant to mention earlier is that there were also reports that the CIA had established a clandestine prison for renditioned terror suspects in Mauritania. Are you aware of this, Abda?
No.
Yeah. I heard about it,
but I don't have some...
Right, any particular information.
So if I may myself, I'm New York State, born and raised. This is the United States of America, so we'll say prison or prisons. Because they operate, you know, clandestinely, and there's cloak and dagger, and there's a lot of things that they're breaking laws and doing things that we don't agree with as American citizens and are illegal. It's just what they do.
Okay, so do you have a question?
I'm not saying that's a fact. I'm saying, you know, this is the matter of business they've been doing for this long.
All right, so do you have a question?
Yeah, I was asking what country that prison is in.
Oh, okay. Well, it's in Mauritania. That's the country we're talking about tonight.
I don't mean what it's in, but who's running it. You know, it's not a CIA prison, so it's...
No, well, the detainment camp, the one that they're calling Little Guantanamo at Naudibu, if I got that right?
Naudibu, yes. Mm-hmm. It's that, the economic capital of Mauritania.
It's the economic capital of Mauritania.
Yes.
So the second city after the capital Nouakchott.
Exactly.
Okay, now that is run, I understand, by the Mauritanian government for so-called, you know, illegal aliens, quote-unquote, or undocumented migrants, as we prefer to say. Then in addition to that, there are also unconfirmed reports that the CIA established some kind of a clandestine prison for renditioned terror suspects in Mauritania. I'm not sure if that would have been... what year was Taya overthrown, Abda?
2005.
2005. So probably that would have been established before he was overthrown. Probably that would have been established under Taya and perhaps continued under the subsequent government.
Right.
Okay, so does that clear things up?
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
You know, Ralph Shomden mentioned some things tonight about some of the agendas that some of the people, such as Gates, had and just discussed recently. Just quoting, he said, I believe October 30th, that Gates talked about preemptive nuclear strikes.
Oh, God.
China,
well, I didn't hear that, and I certainly hope that it's not true, especially given the talk, and hopefully it's just talk and it's not going to happen. But there has been some talk that Obama is going to keep Gates on as Secretary of Defense, so that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Okay, thanks for your call. The number is 212-209-2900. Please give a call in the 10 or 12 minutes that we have remaining to us to speak with Abderrahman Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from New England. Speaking of Obama, this is very important. Have you ever been to ObamaCrimes.com? Because this is something very serious. On December 1st of this year, the Supreme Court is going to, they have to hear, he has up until December 1st to answer a lawsuit regarding his birth certificate in the Supreme Court.
Oh, please, stop. WBAI, you're on the... I don't believe the Supreme Court is going to hear that for a minute. That's not true. But we'll check out the website. Don't worry. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes.
Turn down your radio, please, and speak up.
Okay. Hi, I would like to make something clear. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
The thing is, my name is not Obama, but my name is, Oprah. I would like to make something clear. I wasn't here, so the thing is, if you're voting for somebody, you have to not mention other people's names because they're not here. I'm not here. The thing is, I don't think Obama is not a good choice for you to vote for. I think you should vote for somebody that's a clear-headed person, that's willing to change your future, not to destroy other people's future. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay, so, well, first of all, the election is over, so we already voted for whoever we voted for, or failed to, as the case may be. But, I'm sorry, are you saying that Obama is or isn't the kind of person who's going to...
I don't think he's the right person.
Okay. All right.
I don't think he would be a right choice.
Okay, so...
First of all, I'm just telling you, vote for yourself.
All right, well, vote for yourself.
Yeah, vote for yourself, not
well,
for people.
Okay, well, perhaps as a protest vote, you can vote for yourself, or could, except that the election's already over, so we'll keep on going with calls. WBAI, you're on the air. You're on the air. Please turn down the radio and speak up. Turn down the radio and speak up. You're live on the air.
My radio is off.
Okay.
I'm calling, this may be a broader perspective, but to look at what has happened with Arabization, I guess, of the African world internationally, and help me if I'm just kind of struggling with this right now. I think I recall that the Arabs initially attempted to invade Africa and were repelled and militarily, and then came back at the religious level and infiltrated places like Mali and the Mansa Musa, etc., as they came into various parts of the continent. And then they came in to basically dominate the continent. And even after that, they continue to do that around the world. So if we move to, say, the United States, in almost every African-American community, you have Arabs who have dominated those communities with stores and the way that they have impacted on people of African descent in different ways.
Well, I'm a little bit wary of... sweeping ethnic generalizations, but I'd like to hear what Abda has to say.
Yeah, that's not a generalization. I'm saying...
Yeah, Abda, do you have any response to this perspective?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit hard to generalize, but for sure you have, I mean, Arab slavery in Africa. Is that happened in Sudan and Mauritania, and it's something that is happened. And even though in countries such as Mauritania, everybody is Muslim, but still black are considered as second-class citizens and black were discriminated against.
Okay, we've got two calls. Maybe we'll keep going with phone calls. 212-209-2900. We got around 5 or 6 minutes left at this point. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
This is WBAI?
Yes, it is, and you're on the air.
Yes, okay. Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Maktar Shane. I'm a human rights activist, and I would like to greet my friend, Abdawan. But regarding the situation in Mauritania, I have a few things to add here. Just he went a long hour discussing many things. Regarding Western Sahara, it's been recognized by the government of Mauritania since 1980. The Western Sahara is recognized by the regime of the current regime and the regime of Ould Haydala and regime of Ould Taya.
Okay.
Regarding the prison that you mentioned, it was a piece in the New Yorker magazine last year. Was the former president Sidi Ould Sheikh Abdullah who gave that deal to the CIA and it was closed by the Mauritanian parliament after that. Mm-hmm, it was a piece mm-hmm. in the New Yorker magazine by Simon Hirsch.
Right, that's right, that's right. That
okay,
was
that's
the
what happened
yeah.
about the small, in the, they transfer that.
Right,
okay.
That's right.
Regarding what happened in August 6th, we have something similar here in the United States because America is always our example. We have impeachment process that happened to Nixon in 1974 by the Congress. So it was done the same thing by the former the parliament in Mauritania to the former president Sidi Ould Cheikh Abdallah. So what happened, he blocked the parliament because there was mismanagement of the government resource, and he was willing to do and many things that was not legal by the constitution in Mauritania. And the regime today is supported by more than the two-thirds of the parliament. So Mauritanian parliament has 151 members, more than 121 parliamentarian support what happened in Mauritania on August 6th.
All right, well, hang on a second. A third of the parliament is still extremely significant, and even if everything you say is true, do you think that justifies locking up the former president?
No, we didn't. He was willing to divide the country into the civil war to stay in power. One thing you have to understand, sir, since he last year the crisis started in late April. When April he started, he put the Islamist extremists. He recognized the political Islamists that their program, their agenda is to kill the Jewish people and to close the Israeli embassies in Nouakchott. We have Al Qaeda does exist. The killing of the French tourist innocent in Alag last Christmas is example of that. The recent attack this year in February 12th on the Israeli embassy is the reason that we have Al Qaeda. And the former president, he was an ally to those people, the party called Tawassul, that led by Islamists, by the GSPC, the same Al Qaeda that our country, our victim of. That's another thing. What happened is not a coup d'etat. It's just a change of regime by the people of Mauritania. The people of Mauritania has the parliament was elected before the president in last year. So we have today in the parliament more than 121 support the regime. All the institutions of the constitution are working. We have a parliament that is working doing their job. We have two major political parties that support what happened. The head of them is Ahmed Ouldada, who won 47% of the latest election in 2007. And you have Mr. Saar Ibrahima, who was a former presidential candidate, who won more than 10% of the last election in 2007. And you have in Mauritania more than 59 political parties that 41 support what happened in August 6th.
Okay, let's get a response from Abda here because we are running out of time. Abda.
Okay, I'm surprised to hear my friend Mokhtar Shane. But what happened is what he is trying is to justify a coup d'etat. I don't agree with the fact that we can go and make a coup d'etat. I mean, that's something that in principle, we are against. And Mr. Saar didn't have 10%. I wish he had 15 or 20%. And, I think it's his opinion to believe that the putschists are democratic. And it's not my opinion. I think I fight for the right of Mauritanians, and I think many parties, many organizations, the majority of Mauritanians are against what happened now, and that's the truth. And of course, the regime will always have people who will try to support them. I'm not one of them. I will not support people who came to power by the means of arms. I am a freedom fighter, and I fight for justice, democracy, equality.
Well, unfortunately, we have fallen under the tyranny of the clock, as they say. And, in some ways, this conversation is just beginning to open up. I wish we could keep going, but we're going to have to get Abderrahmane back so we can continue this conversation, because I was really pleased that we got a lot of phone calls. Although, as typically happens, the board lights up at the very last minute when we have to be off the air. So, Abderrahmane Wone of the African Liberation Forces of Mauritania, thank you so much for joining us, and hope you'll be back on these airwaves soon so we can continue this dialogue with the listeners.
I will be more than happy to come back. Thank you very much for having me.
So with that, please do stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up next. Should we go out with do you have a particular cut you'd like to go out with?
Three.
Cut three. Okay. Once again from Jam Min Teki from Mauritania. Stay tuned to WBAI. See you next week. And Assalamu Alaikum. Whoops. Okay. Taking him to the top.
Yo. Jamen Tiki at Kumar Ben Sitergi. Right.
Jamono, eske yangi smujum jamono. Mom nangaler ti solu share. Jugu bo yangi joge kau. Chodo bachu wakal foko bage. Fika bage. Fafla kwe take. Mange kuro dolar ak bene bm. Bunyu de duanye. Mais comment pour ma xamni beug gama tray fonto beug xam li nga woto ci su boba
moy tama tekemel ma taxaw muni ma nopna la nit ki di yo.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.